Minister Mapulane, good morning to the senior officials of government and parliament and the staff in general. I want to take this opportunity to say that we're going to start now, and I duly open this meeting. And today we are going to be receiving a presentation from the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies. And the meeting is now duly open, members. It's a Friday. We had shifted the meeting to this day in order for us to accommodate particularly the ministry and the department. As you know that until further notice, we meet on Wednesdays, but that is not cast in stone. When there are challenges that propel us to identify a date that suits both us as the committee, as well as the department, we can always shift. Hence today, we are meeting on a Friday. We will therefore go through this meeting, and I just want to say you are all welcome. And then I'm gonna ask the secretariat to register all the submitted apologies. Over to you, Amanda. Can you please inform the meeting the apologies that have been received formally?
Good morning, Chair, and thank you very much. Excuse me. I have received 4 apologies. Honorable Nana, Honorable Lapuskagni, Honorable Fisa, as well as Honorable Mukawiso. Thank you, Chair.
Amanda, I think we also did receive formally a written apology from the minister, didn't we?
That's correct, Chair. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Honorable members, indeed, I did receive the formal letter from the minister indicating that he is currently in a summit in Dubai, where he's leading the South African delegation. A summit that is related to communications and his portfolio. And he has then asked the deputy minister to lead the delegation here today to make this presentation. If there are no other apologies, members, the main agenda for the day will be to look at this presentation by the department led by the deputy minister. And after which we will then deal with internal matters. Deputy Minister, let me express on behalf of the members of this committee appreciation for you being here with us. And we are familiar with you and you are familiar with us. And at all material times, you always appear here to basically give us everything that we always request from the department so that we are able to efficiently and effectively do our responsibility of exercising oversight over the programs that you are doing and be kept abreast as well of the developments and achievements and successes, as well as the difficulties and challenges that you face as the department, so that together we can always find a way of dealing with all of those in a manner that is in the best interest of our people. So without further ado, DM, you will help us by doing your high-level introductory remarks and designate any official who is leading the bureaucrats to introduce the rest of your team and then get into the business of doing the detail in the presentation. So when I hand over to you, DM, we give this to you and your team until you hand it back to me so that we can then interact with the presentation. I therefore wish to invite you to migrate to the microphone and address the select committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And thank you to all the honorable members on the platform. Colleagues from the department and the entities that we have tasked them to assist us with the rollout of the SA Connect program. I hope they are all on the platform. Chair, I'm not going to be long. I just want to highlight just a couple of things, and our colleagues from the department will take us through the presentation, which I think has been shared with yourself. It's quite a detailed presentation, Chairperson, because we update it as we move along. We will be briefing you, Chairperson, on one of our flagship programs in the department, which we call SA Connect. Now, the SA Connect is government's broadband policy, which mainly seek to bridge the digital divide in the country, to make sure that we connect the unconnected, and we ensure that in the next 3 years, 80% of South Africans, at least 80% of South Africans, have access to the internet. So we have agreed with Treasury to appoint two of our entities, which is Broadband Infraco, as well as Centec, together with SITA. SITA mainly connecting government sites. So we've agreed with Treasury to appoint these entities to help us to implement this program. We have already received 3 billion over the next 2 years to help us to implement the program. However, as we know that there's some austerity measures that have been put in place, introduced through the medium-term budget policy statement of the Minister of Finance. So we're beginning to see the reduction in our baseline, and this program has also been affected by those reductions, as Treasury is trying to manage the fiscus. As we know, Chairperson, that we're going through one of the most difficult periods in the history of this country in terms of the revenue of government is continuing to decline. It's impacted upon by the cost of borrowing money. So we need that the economy must grow beyond the estimated 0.9% that has been estimated, to at least about 3%, so that we do not have to keep on borrowing to finance our requirement in the country. But we have been impacted, this program has been impacted. So there's some money that has been taken away. The details are contained in the actual presentation. We are very excited, Chair, about this project of SA Connect. In fact, the minister and myself went to Mount Elif in Alfred Nzo district in the Eastern Cape to launch this project but phase two of the SA Connect. We launched it in Mount Elif, and we came across moving experiences of South Africans who got to be connected to the internet for the first time. So we are very excited about this project. We think that it is, in practical terms, bridging the digital divide, connecting South Africans who are not connected. And so we are going to be briefing you about this project, and I think the colleagues are ready with the presentation, and I'm going to invite them to take us through. There are a number of meetings in the department. I'm not sure whether the Director General is on the call. I know that myself and her were engaged in another meeting earlier on. But if she is around, I'm going to request that she introduces the delegation and then hand over to whoever is going to present. I believe that DDG Ngobeni, who's responsible for infrastructure branch, who's basically the owner of this program, is also on the platform. So if the director general is not in yet, DDG Ngobeni, you can come in. Thank you, Chair. DG, are you on the platform? Nope. DG Ngobeni, you can come in.
Thank you, DM, and good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Dinyiko Ngobeni, Deputy Director General for ICT Infrastructure. I'm also with my colleague, Mr. Rendan Museta, who's the Chief Director, responsible for coordinating the SA Connect project, the department. We also have got colleagues from the ministry. We may be joined later by the colleagues from BBI and Centec on the platform later. I don't know whether the secretariat will be projecting or should I be projecting from my side. Yeah, your advice.
You can project on your side, DDG.
I don't seem to have the sharing rights at the moment.
It looks like you've been made the co-host, DDG. Are you not able to?
No, I'm not seeing the option to share on my side.
Okay, Chair, can we request your team to help us with the presentation?
Okay. Thank you. You can move to the next slide. The DM has already introduced the program. The SA Connect is entirely a program made of various sub-programs to provide government. These are mainly they are government-led programs, and they are also private sector-led SA Connect programs. So in the main here, we'll focus on the government-led programs and talk a little bit on those which are led by the private sector. So looking at I'm still on that previous slide. Yeah. So we're looking at the summary of the program. If you look at the SA Connect in terms of the three sub programs that it contains, it's got the first sub program is to connect households and communities. And the second one is to connect schools and health facilities and other facilities where services are provided, including tribal, traditional authority offices and libraries as well. And then the third sub-program focuses on providing connectivity to government offices. And then the first program, in terms of providing household connectivity, it's being led by Centec and BBI. They partner together with the SMMEs in the different district municipalities so that they support them by building the infrastructure. So the infrastructure is very close to where the communities are. Because one of the challenges in providing a communications network is that you need to have a network that connects both ends. So if you've got one end in Cape Town and one end in Messina, you need to have the connecting links, which we call them the core network links. So SMMEs, they find it very difficult to build those links. And that's where the government is coming in and say that we will also assist to provide those core links And then the SMMEs can then provide the last mile connectivity to their communities. And that's focusing on providing enabling connectivity to 5.5 million households and through 32,000 Wi-Fi hotspots. And then the telcos will provide connectivity to about 18,500 schools, and then 8,200 tribal authority offices, and also health facilities, and also libraries, 579 libraries. And CETA, as part of the CETA mandate, will provide connectivity to 14,300 government offices, including police stations. You can move to the next slide.
As you move to the next slide, I don't know who's projecting. Is it tuned? Can you please put it on slide mode so that it can... Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, DM. Then in terms of the first sub-program, the one of providing communities and household connectivity, the breakdown of the focus is that in each and every province, we indicate the number of Wi-Fi hotspots that will provide, the number of households that will be covered, and we also break down by each district municipality so that it's clear where our interventions are. At least there's gonna be one SMME focus on each district municipality. So we indicate there that, for example, in the Eastern Cape, we'll be putting 776 Wi-Fi hotspots, which will enable 116 households to be covered. But while it's in Free State, it will be 213 Wi-Fi hotspot, which enables 22,007 households. Gauteng is less because Gauteng is largely covered by municipalities, but there's some parts of Gauteng that we still can cover, particularly in the Sidibeng area, which is about 820 Wi-Fi hotspots, and which enable 12,787 households. In Limpopo, looking at Bembe, 199, and then Waterberg, we're going to be doing 559. Forgot to indicate the figures I'm counting here, because the program is split into basically 3 years from the current financial year and the next financial year, and it's going to end in 2026. So all the districts will be covered, and without going to each and all the districts, I believe members to have the slides for the details. But it shows how the connectivity to the different districts has been scheduled, so that those will be connected until March, we indicate, and also until June. Then later also showing until March 2025 and March 2026. Can move to the next slide. So in terms of the progress of where we are with that, all the initial administrative processes have been concluded, all the governance documents have been also signed, the project structures have been established and have been functional for more than a year now. And then BBI and Centec are implementing what we call an open access network, which means it's a network that allows any other service provider who wishes to use the service to come and use it. The funds have been dispersed to the entities, but recently there has been a budget reduction due to cost containment measures, which has resulted in 15% budget cut for the year one budget. So that has also resulted in us reducing the target, the number of Wi-Fi hotspots from 33,500 to 32,000 hotspots. Similarly, the number of households have been reduced to 5.5 million.
DDG, are you still there, or is it me?
We can't hear the DDG anymore. Can someone step up, perhaps? Maybe he's affected by load shedding.
Yeah, apologies, Chair. I think DDG is, I thought it was me. Randane, can you step in here?
Thanks, DM. Through you, Chair. If I may, I may step in. So I think where DDG was talking to the budgets that have been reduced, and as a result, that has affected the numbers of the community Wi-Fi hotspots. So the 15% that has been reduced for year one will then mean that the Wi-Fi hotspots will move from 9,900 to 8,415, and also the total number of the community community Wi-Fi will then move down by 15% as well, and also in terms of the number of the households to be connected also will move down by 15%. So that's how we've worked out the numbers after we received the budget cards. As DM had already indicated, in terms of the launch of the SA Connect project itself, we had started with a proof of concept, which was the first launch was in Mount Elif, where we have launched 500 households in Mount Elif out of the 1,000, and the other 470 is the one that we're going to launch, a minister is going to launch in Mudimule, as that proof of concept. So that connectivity is the connectivity that is live, and it was able to be demonstrated in Mount Elif. There was an oversubscription of the proof of concept because of the savings that people were looking for. Just to describe the service is launched at where is a direct home Wi-Fi. It's a unlimited bandwidth that a household would pay 249 per month, which really works out very, very cheap, because they were surviving from the current mobile networks, and they were saying they couldn't afford the data, because for that amount of money you would get about close to 1 gig per or 2 gigs per month, but then they have unlimited access to that with just that 250, so they're able to do all the other things that they could not. They were indicating that they could even access government services. It is now easier for the even for the children to apply for jobs and also to be able to do their research online. So that is a proof of concept that was launched. So we were aiming as a proof of concept that would do 1,000, but in Mudimule, the subscription was 470, as we can see. We can move on, Zaituna, can we please move on to the next slide? Chair, am I audible, or perhaps, oh, thanks. Yes, thanks, Zaituna. So yeah, this is just to indicate as to the households that we have that we have connected, the one that we've just indicated, and also to indicate in terms of the planned connectivities through the two the three streams that we have indicated. So we have under USASA in terms of the number of sites that we are going to connect are the other sites that we've indicated there, the 412 sites that have been connected as indicated. Of which the 300 is in Eastern Cape, the 300 has been connected already, and the 112 in Northern Cape has been connected, the 135 and the other 65 that has been indicated there is the one that we are working on. We're in BBI with USASA. They are enabling the schools and the clinics. So those ones are the ones that are going to be connected in the current financial year, the 65 and the 135. But the 412 is what has already been connected in Eastern Cape and in the and Northern Cape. In terms of the households, in terms of the broadband access funds, we have connected 5,731 in those provinces, as indicated there, and the public Wi-Fi hotspots that have been installed thus far is 189, and the SA Connect it's accounted for by the proof of concept, which we say by the end of December we should have pushed the Mudimule ones, so that then the 9,970 moves to 1,000. So thanks. If we can move to the next one. So the broadband access fund, it's the one that we are we are connecting on the basis of the presidential employment stimulus, which then in terms of the broadband, then we've got the broadband access fund, of which BBI was appointed by the department to become the fund manager for that. So this also is aimed at piloting some of the work that is required for the SA Connect, the entire SA Connect. So we're going to use those funds. The funds that we received is 200. We received 200 million that we have received, and then we're utilizing it as part of the broadband access fund. And then we are intending to finish this by March 2024. There's been two windows of the service providers that we have opened. The first window was in April. So that's the one that we've seen the 5,700 odd numbers that I've indicated that have been connected. It was through the first window. The second window is the one that has kicked in. It went out in August, but then the service providers have just been appointed, and then they will make sure that we see through the number of the households that needs to be connected until March 2024. So in terms of the districts, as we have indicated in the previous, in terms of the provinces, we have indicated in the previous slides. I've also been taken or nominated from the entire list of the SA Connect, the number that DDG was talking to. So we're ensuring that then we implement that as soon as we get any funding. So that is why we're using the 200 million to address that 80% that DDG has indicated. If we can go to the next one. Okay, so in terms of the rollout, so these are the per district in terms of the addressable households that we are targeting, in terms of the technologies that are being used, that we will be using fiber to the home where it allows and where it doesn't. Then we'll use other technologies, whereas where we can use wireless. It's either we can use microwave links for those areas that are in the rural areas. We can also use the satellite via the VSAT. So these are all the districts that we intend to address, and that's where the technologies that will be utilized, the numbers of the technology in terms of that will be utilized per district. As we've indicated there, in terms of the fiber to the home and the wireless to the home, and then the total in terms of the households, and those will be addressed by the Wi-Fi hotspots, as indicated in the far right of the table. If we can proceed. Okay, so yes, in terms of the connections, in terms of those districts, in terms of where we are now, is that in terms of the submitted connections, we've got a total of 6,765, and the connections that have been verified by the department, we've verified all of them. In terms of going there and seeing and doing some of them through, I mean, a spot check, and some of them through a an application that can be able to locate which are those that have been connected, and the ones that have passed the verification is the 5,479. And then in terms of the Wi-Fi hotspots, those are the homes. And then in terms of the Wi-Fi hotspots that are enabling those connections to the homes, the submitted was 205, and the verified 195, and those that have passed the verification 188. Okay, if we can go to the next slide. Thanks. So as DDG has indicated, and DM have indicated, the other stream of the SA Connect project, it's where we have tasked CETA to ensure that it implements its mandate, and the identified households, sorry, not households, because CETA connects the government facilities. So those government facilities that have been identified, in total, it's 14,700 odd households. That we have identified, and since the program started last year, we are now sitting at close to 7,000 out of the 14,000 currently. But what you are seeing there, it's for the current financial year. Since the current financial year, the target for the current financial year was 1,474. Of which in those provinces, of which CETA has completed 1,023 thus far. There has been the funding that they had requested for strengthening their next generation network sites. Of which that funding is part of the funding that has been approved by National Treasury. They have requested 667 million, which we will disperse as soon as they finalize the implementation plan. CETA is finalizing, is working on the implementation plan. But since this is their mandate, they have already started. That is why, thus far, we are now sitting at 7,000 sites that they have already connected, and this year they targeted to connect 1,474. So we're still going to ensure. So as they are, we're still waiting for them to do the to conclude the implementation plan. They have already started deploying because it's part of their mandate. If we can move to the next slide. Yes, in terms of the social obligation, this is the third stream of the SA Connect. So wherein it has been, the third stream speaks to the social obligation that has been allocated to the telcos that have received the IMT spectrum. The numbers that we have, gone through all the provinces, government departments, ensuring that we get the sites that needs to be connected, that are required to be connected, as DM has indicated, that there will be a connection to the public schools, government clinics, and hospitals as well. And then as well as the police stations have been replaced by CETA. CETA will deal with that, the 567 police stations. And then that has been replaced by the libraries, because CETA has indicated that that is part of the of the government facilities that they are going to be connecting. So then here we then receive the list from provinces as indicated in the table below. So the first part it shows what we had described as part of the ITA, and the second part of the table there, it shows the data that we have received from the provinces as we were collecting all that data. And then we have submitted that to ICASA for them to then have discussions and negotiate with the telcos in terms of which telco is allocated, and those numbers will then be allocated to the telcos as indicated above. But as members can see, that the numbers are not the actual data that we have received. It's less than what we had anticipated, but that is due to the cooperations that that we're getting from the various provinces. And this is the numbers that they've given us, and this is what we seek to address as we've received those. We can move to the next slide. Yes. So then those have then actually been allocated in terms of then now the telcos in terms of the numbers, meaning that like as Telkom, then will be allocated 2,290 schools, 474 clinics, 126 hospitals, 81 libraries, and 106 traditional offices. So this is allocated on the basis of the percentage in terms of the type of the spectrum that they have received. So that is why the numbers, they vary. Most of the numbers will be allocated to Vodacom and MTN because they are the ones that received they much more lucrative spectrum. So that's how the numbers have been spread and have been allocated to the telcos. So as it is now, ICASA is just finalizing the terms and conditions discussions with these telcos, and then those will then be published, and then we should then be able to then start monitoring this as the department in terms of the implementation together with ICASA. Okay, we can go to the next slide. Okay, so where we are, part of the conditions that ICASA is negotiating with the licensees is that the licensee must connect the public service institutions with uncapped data, implementing a fair use of minimum 500 gigabits monthly, data at 10 megabits per second. So then it just shows that the speed, that a standard speed that will be expected is 10 megabits. And in terms of the data will be uncapped, but if it goes beyond 500 gigabits per second, then there will be a fair use, they will apply a fair use rule. So usually what they do there is that you can still use the data, but then it will be at a lower, at a slower speed. So meaning that 500 gigabits monthly is guaranteed for 10 megabits per second. And then the other condition was that the PSI connectivity obligation will apply to the license for the period of 12 years instead of the validity period. So this came about, this was a negotiation because the telcos also, they were also looking at the rate of returns in terms of the spectrum that they have received, that with the rate of returns that they are expecting, if a full-on uncapped data is applied for all the facilities that they will be connecting, it might really be much more expensive. So for them to be able to do that and also be able to receive the returns in terms of the spectrum in its entirety. So the 12 years is just it's a negotiation that was reached, so that because they were saying that if not, then they may have to reduce the data or the cap. They might have to use a cap for them to be able to do that. So they will do this. So then it's going to be 12 years instead of the 20 years of the duration. Those were the negotiations that they have that we've reached. The licensee must connect, in terms of the service costs, must connect to the public service institutions as provided above at zero cost, meaning that for the 12 years, once those have been installed, the service providers will then, or the licensees will be maintaining those at no cost until the 12th year. And then in terms of the infrastructure costs, licensees will be responsible for the infrastructure costs relating to the deployment of the network. The PSI, meaning that the public service institutions will be responsible for the equipment costs, enabling the connect to the licensees network. So this meaning that they in terms of the actual a gadget, be it the laptops or the cell phones, that then enables that connectivities, will be for the public service institutions, in terms of the, and also if it is schools, it could be the computers that are connected to the infrastructure that the licensees would have provided. Okay, if we can go to the next slide. So in terms of the economic benefits, is that when we look at the first stream, wherein Proben Infraco as well, is Centec and CETA, is that they've established an enterprise and supply development strategy, which then would allow the SMMEs to participate and to also improve the triple BEE status. And then the strategy entails driving active participation of the SMMEs, as we have indicated, in terms of the broadband access fund, as well as the households connectivity, because that is then being done by the SMEs. So mainly the ISPs that we are talking about there, the internet service providers that we have indicated there, mainly most of them are your SMEs. And this program will ensure that at least 75 SMEs have the opportunity to be able to do business, and in turn there would be a direct and indirect employment opportunities, as indicated in the table there, and also ensure that the employment in the network deployment would also be effected there, as the SMMEs, those SMMEs will then have the personnel to be able to do work, more especially on the core network, the access network areas. So those are the areas that the Centec and BBI, as well as CETA, are targeting and ensuring that those SMEs also have those skills in terms of the enterprise and supply development strategy. Then BBI and Centec will ensure that those SMEs participate as such in terms of the numbers there as indicated in the various provinces. Okay, if you can go to the next one. Yes. So yeah, this was just showing. This is the enablement that we have just shared in terms of the launch that happened in Mount Elif. That those are the type of the equipment that are installed in a household on your far left, and there is the access, how you access that in terms of buying. It's either you can buy a voucher. Another thing that perhaps maybe we didn't indicate there in terms of the broadband access fund, the voucher, they start from 5 rands for 1 gig gigabit of data. For only 5 rands, you are able to then have that that access, which is really a far cry when compared to what the mobile operators, the current mobile operators are charging. For 1 gig, if one was to get 1 gig from Vodacom, for example, that would be around 79 rands. But here, they are able to buy that 1 gig for 5 rands. So they just go through their phones, they can then be able to access that. And all that platform, it's provided for by the SMMEs, the local SMMEs. They're the ones that then provide that platform, and then the users are then able to then buy that. So some of them, they're using them for businesses, some of them they're using it at schools. So those are the economic benefits that may not be direct, but the spin-offs of these, it then means that kids are able to then apply for jobs. They are then also able to do the research. Small businesses are able to then conduct their business. They can use that data for them to be able to then do advertisement. And then the locals, they know what to get where. Then it gets easier for them. And also it is easy to access, because it's just that platform. It's on the cell phones. And also in terms of the ones that are dedicated for the household, then the whole entire household is able to then access the internet through those CPEs that are being installed and CPEs that are being installed. I think that's the end of it, Zee. If you can go to the last slide, I think this should be the last slide. Okay, thanks, Chair, and thanks, DM.
Okay, thank you very much, Rendani, and thanks for the elaborate presentation. Chair, the economic spin-offs of this connectivity is something that is it's an experience that we can't really explain when somebody for the first time is getting access to unlimited, uncapped internet connectivity. It's able to do a lot of things on that. For instance, last week at Africom, I shared with them a story, because when we were in Mount Elif, we got to experience the stories of people who were connected for the first time, and they were relating to us all these stories. And there is a young man there called Yamkelo. I think his surname is Mkugudo at Mount Elif, who was telling us that because he's an entrepreneur, he's selling a fried chicken and other food stuff to the community. You are saying to us that because he has got unlimited Wi-Fi or internet connectivity in the home, he's able to utilize it to promote his products. And since he got to be connected, there's been a marked increase, significant increase in his business, because now he's able to reach to many other people that he was not able to reach in the past. So this is the kind of excitement that we come across as we interact with the communities who are connected, because quite often we take this for granted. Those of us who are living in established areas, we've got access to the internet 24/7, high-speed access. So this program, SA Connect, it's exciting in a sense that it practically changes the lives of our people, those who have not been connecting. Because we know from the statistics of the United Nations that about 1/3 of the world's population remains unconnected, which is about between 2.3 and 2.6 billion people. And so we are trying our best in rolling out this broadband connectivity to our people. And we think that yourself as honorable members will share with us this excitement. We were not meant to share the kind of detail, but I think in the interest of transparency, the colleagues prepared the report in such a way that it becomes too technical, too detailed as to mention in the numbers, but that is done in the interest of transparency. Thank you very much, Chair.
Asibonge, DM, thank you very much for that elaborate presentation. Indeed, you had warned us that it is quite a very detailed one. Now that we have received this very interesting and very motivating report on the progress that you are making in ensuring that you are connecting communities as well as public institutions, one cannot help but to say that this is a clear achievement of our revolution as a developmental state, because without this connectivity, I mean, really, we would remain a very primitive nation. But as a enterprising democracy and a power broker to be where we are under your stewardship, DM, and the minister, as well as the whole department, and to be doing the things that are happening right now, one can clearly say that we are moving with times, and this is going to help our country to be amongst the torch bearers of development, because with technology, with connectivity, the sky becomes basically not the limit, but just the immediate ceiling, but you can go beyond that. So members, here is the presentation. I would like us to interact with it, provide your comments, your questions, and questions of clarity, and further suggest if there is a need. I will now recognize the members once I see that they have raised their hands in the platform. I see the hand of Honorable Mamungwenya. That's the hand that I have at this point.
Thanks,
you can go ahead.
Okay. Thanks very much, Chairperson, for granting me an opportunity to contribute to the meeting. And thank you for the presentation from the department. Chairperson, I have the following question to ask. SA Connect seeks to meet the technology goals of the National Development Plan of building an inclusive information society. Chair, I wanted to check if the Department of the Communication is still on track in terms of meeting the objective of the National Development Plan connecting to ICT. My second question is on challenges. I want to check what are the challenges in terms of access which have made it difficult to citizens to have reliable access, and to what extent have those challenges affected the project of SA Connected to deliver on the mandate, and what are the plans of the department to address those challenges? On slide number 3, Chair, I wanted to check which district municipality are scheduled to be completed in December 2023 in 1,000 sites. Can we get more details information? My last question, Chairperson, is on training. I wanted to check if SA Connect is partnering with district municipality to provide training to government institution and to the people in remote rural village. Can you give us more information on your tracking plans? Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mamu Mwenya. I now wish to recognize the hand of Honorable Memo Dise. Over to you, Memo Dise.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me greet the members of this select committee. Also the Deputy Minister, Dr. Mapulani. Honorable Chair, I have one question that I have. I noticed that there is a several service provider involved in the project, such as Telkom, MTN, Vodacom, and others. My question is, how do you ensure the quality of Wi-Fi signal is not compromised, since these service providers are using the different network infrastructures? It is this only question of mine, Chair. Thank you. Chair?
If I have another, and thank you, Honorable Memo Dise. I have Honorable PB. Mama, over to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Baba. Greetings to you and also the DM and the team. Chairperson, I don't have a question today, but I would like to commend the department, the minister, and also the DM of a job well done, because I've seen, I mean, they have done a good job into all the provinces. And also thanks to our province, KZN, I could see really there's quite a number of, I mean, jobs, good jobs that have done. It is only that, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mama. I don't have any other hand. Yeah, I think those are the only three honorable members who wanted to have a bite. DM, I think I had already expressed my appreciation for the presentation, as well as the contents entailed in the presentation as they speak to major developments in the country. There's been a major divide between what happens in the urban and the rural space. The fact that you have taken this revolutionary approach of striking a balance and ensuring that you bring the periphery to the center, because of the appreciation of the fact that the center is also anchored in the periphery. So it goes without saying that this is going to bring in a new impetus in the economic dynamics of the country, so that where there is the issue of saturation in the urban spaces, businesses must begin to know that the rural spaces are also ready for business. And in the quest of us as a country wanting to achieve smart cities, we equally have the quest of ensuring that we create smart villages, villages of hope. And this program talks exactly to that. And I must express again my appreciation of the fact that you are taking a very intentional and intelligent decision to, amongst others, foreground the traditional councils or traditional authorities, because those are areas of convergence for many of our villages. They are responsible for governance as well in those areas. So connecting them, it is actually going to transform rural communities from being referred to as dead economies to actually vibrant economies. This is what we ought to do as an African country in the process of decolonization. This is a way that we have to plan, the economic trajectory to ensure that we create productive communities which are able to do business on their own, assisted by the state. This program is a clear demonstration of a state that is making an enabling environment, which is the job of the government. And therefore, we are quite elated by this. And I would like just to say that I live in rural areas as well, and I know what it means not to have connectivity. Insofar as this connectivity going to schools, are you interacting, DM, with the Department of Education, for instance, to ensure that once there's connectivity, then other things must follow suit? There should be gadgets, there should be everything that is related to that, so that it's not a question of going in and connect those facilities, but that connection is not put into good use. Of course, people will connect to make free calls on apps like WhatsApp and have access to social media. But more than just that, how do we begin to ensure that the other departments complement the work that you are doing by beginning to connecting to that and ensuring that other instruments and tools of trade are readily available for those institutions, clinics, schools. And then when it comes to COCTA must do the same. If they connect traditional authorities, then they must make computers available. People must be trained. The secretaries of councils, the secretaries of authorities, they must be trained to ensure that they begin to connect to and access all the government services that are available. This is a way of ensuring that the work that is being done is not done in isolation. We can't afford in this day and age to work in silos. So I'll appreciate that. And then also, we must make sure that when we plant this Wi-Fi to our areas, the quality of the work that gets done from the poles that are used and so on, it should not just be an issue of doing for the sake of doing. We must ensure that there's no waste of money. We use quality material, not plastic poles, DM. So which brings me to another question, that is there a mechanism of monitoring this rollout so that if there are service providers, for instance, I assume that you will use them, they do not take these communities for granted and use materials that are easily broken. And I'm saying that at DM because I have seen in one village where they used a plastic pole and all of those poles already, they have bended. So I'm saying we need to avoid that. right from the onset as you are starting this rollout, so that this good work is not then contaminated with shoddy work by some service providers. There has to be a way of ensuring, like when we're rolling out the electricity, we ensured that Eskom put requisite that will stand the test of time and all sorts of weathers and environmental circumstances. Those poles are still in place. So equally, it would be good that we can either link up with the infrastructure line that, you remember, we used to have the telephone lines. Most of them are still in place, but even though they are not used for what they were intended for then, it could be a very good infrastructure that we can plug into, rather than bringing in new infrastructure, which would be weaker. But at the same time, it will be a cost-saving mechanism if we use what is already there. Because I saw on the road towards my area, for instance, that they put a new pole next to a pole that exists, which is not in use. You know, so you've got those poles for either for electricity or telecom when we're still using landline. Those poles are still there. But I'm expressing myself to the issue of using cheap material, which would not be sustainable, and which can easily now come back to actually attract negativity about a good work that is being done. I'm saying this, that on the overall, this is very good work, but it's ensuring that we close ranks on anything that would be unnecessary. This is a very good project and too good for it to be distracted by minor issues. You know, we live in a country of some people who like to major with minors, but we must not leave no stone unturned in terms of the quality, as it were. I think, DM, you can judge by the fact that the members didn't have a list of questions. It's because all of us were stunned by this good work which this department has done. This is what we have been wanting to see happening. We're happy that you have responded to the people of this country in a very positive way and in a short space of time. Because this challenge, it sort of tripled when the COVID, virus created the whole calamity. So there was now beginning to have a greater demand for online studies for rural children and so on. So it you are answering many questions with this. The state of and the stability of the network and the signal in our communities there. This is going to go a long way. And I'm happy that it is happening under the watch of the sixth administration. All we have to say is to say, wow, job well done. May you just ensure that you continue with it from one epoch to the next, so that there's a clear roadmap as to by when it will be completed. And if you can fashion it to the rapid electrification program and have something like a rapid program for wiring or whatever you, for connecting all our communities, it is something that I think it should take the same form. Because of its importance, it needs to be brought forward. This is a great investment, and it will not be money put to waste. And as I say, it is going to boost our economy in a very, very big way. Thank you very much, DM. We will now give it back to you to provide the answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, let me ask DDG Ngobeni to start, and to clarify some of the issues briefly, and then I'll come back. DDG Ngobeni, are you back?
Yes, DM, I'm back, and apologies for earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, with regard to the question by Honorable Wenger, whether we're still on time, target, to meet the NDP targets. I'll say that we are. If we look at the 5-year strategic plan of government, the NTSF, the 5-year target, which ends next year, was that the country should have achieved 80% internet access. And by internet access, it includes both connectivity, the issue of having skills and people having the necessary devices to access the internet, all those associated, and also addressing the issue of affordability. In the latest stats from Statistics SA is that about 78% of the households in South Africa have access to internet. Another international organization called Statista is looking at about 76-77% general internet access by the population. So the NDB 2030 target is within reach. I think this program is also complementing towards achievement of those targets. As I indicated earlier in the presentation, that SA Connect comprises the programs led by government and those that are led by private sector, where government enables them through giving them spectrum, for example, or the issue of rights of way for them to roll out the infrastructure. So we do believe we are on track to meet the NDP targets. And with regard to the challenges preventing the reliable access, because currently the main challenge is the issue of load shedding. It does affect the reliability of the network and also the progress on the on achieving connectivity. Although the service providers, and including our state-owned entities, they do invest in generators to assist them, but sometimes it just, in terms of logistics, it can become a bit of a challenge and that delays the project. But we've come up with mitigation measures, and the issue of business forum in some places, it does delay implementation of the projects, but we do engage with the local authorities to assist us with those engagement with the different stakeholders. And then whether SA Connect is partnering with the districts to train government officials and other people. The department also has got an extensive digital skills program. I mean, I'm sure DMA may also come to it. We recently had a digital skills summit held in London, which was an overwhelming success. It's looking to massify provision of different skills to different stakeholders. So it's going to complement this program, which is focused here. It's limited on connectivity, but we are alive to these other complementing programs, the issue of skills. We also, from a policy side, working on the issues of how do we address the issue of cost to communicate. And we also look at the issue of facilitating rapid deployment of infrastructure, which requires, in the main, approvals from municipalities for where he lives. And the operators, including those who are participating in this program, their main challenge is that the processes are not standardized and they often take too long. But the recent rapid deployment policy and also the model bylaw published by COGTA are meant to try and address this issue. We believe that once they're fully implemented, they will facilitate easier and rapid implementation of these programs. Also addressing some of the issues raised by the chair, that we need to find a way to rapidly roll out to this infrastructure. There was also a question about how do we ensure that the service of Wi-Fi is not compromised because it's used by different service providers. So the way the technology works is that this Wi-Fi, it functions in what is called in a license exam. So it doesn't require a license, except it must meet certain conditions and parameters set up by ICASA. So, and they're designed to be robust and able to operate in an environment where there are other transmissions from different people. So similarly to in many of the build-up areas, you will find people who are in very close proximity using different service providers who use different frequencies as well. And the technology is that such that it's able to coexist in most of the instances. So, and that's in particular in the rural areas, that shouldn't be much of a problem as long as the service providers, as they design the network, they make sure that it adequately covers the areas. So that even those which are in the periphery, they do receive a signal with adequate power. So the issue of the quality of service is also taken into consideration when our entities, BBI and CETEC, after the service providers have completed their connectivity, when they hand over to them, they also assess the performance of this connectivity to ensure that it meets the predetermined performance characteristics. If it doesn't, it's returned back to the service provider so that they improve and the design and other parameters until it meets the objectives that I said there. We also welcome the compliment from Honorable Bibi as well, that we are trying as much as we can to contribute to the jobs. But I think also the indirect jobs that comes through where people, you know, as DM indicated, who didn't have much access or limited access before, now they're exposed to many opportunities where either they create jobs for themselves or even create other jobs for people in their vicinity. The chair also made an issue about interacting with the different departments, for example, basic education, about the provisioning of devices. Yeah, the program, since its inception, even before went to ICASA, there's been constant interaction with the various departments, particularly basic education and Department of Health, because they have the majority of the facilities, and then also the COCTA as well. With basic education, because they would have loved us to provide the devices, but it would have been overkill for the operators. Remember that the operators also paid a huge sum of money for the spectrum in terms of from the auction. So they have accepted that this is going to provide connectivity only. And the different provinces, basic education provinces, have different programs to provide gadgets and also teacher training so that they take advantage of this connectivity. We've seen with the phase one where there has been connectivity in some of the schools, how the schools either using either existing, you know, devices in the school, we're able to leverage the connectivity as well. You know, with regard to COCTA, we have engaged with them, and you have noted from the presentation, honorable members, that the numbers that ICASA has allocated to the operators is way less than what we had anticipated, because it's just about less than 1,000, I think. But yet we requested that there should be about 8,200 facilities to be connected. We've since received some information with the support of national and provincial COCTA. The challenge with the information was that it doesn't have the geographical coordinates or even addresses. It's just names of people. And then it's difficult now for ICASA to allocate, you know, where are these people and where the operators, how will they find them to provide the connectivity. So we're still in engagement with ICASA, and so that if they can engage with the operators so that they give us time to allow COCTA to further gather this information, which is going to take some time to gather this information of collecting coordinates and addresses, so that when they get allocated, at least they can be found easily to provide the connectivity. I think that's a challenge we wanted to raise here. And with regard to the issue of preventing short work, we're also concerned about that. That's why what we've done in terms of our governance structures is that the first line of monitoring is done by our entities, BBI, CETEC, and CETA, who observe and assess the performance of the entity, of the service providers that they appoint. But the department as well does sampling of those connectivity and assess it. And where there are challenges, we refer it back to the entities to address so that they can engage with the SMMEs and even the entities where we've seen one of the reports on the broadband access fund that they'd submitted about 6,200 facilities or households as completed, but there were a certain number that did not pass. And it's because they did not meet the speed or the installation quality was not satisfactory. So they had to go. So we're hoping that all of them will always meet that spec. We won't have anything passing through. We'll keep insisting that with our entities. And on the issue of leveraging existing infrastructure, welcome that because that's aligned with the current legislation, it's aligned with the recent rapid deployment policy to promote infrastructure sharing so that we can rapidly roll out infrastructure and so that it can be shared. We'll encourage it, we'll also convey it to our entities that as they engage with their service providers, they should encourage them to look for existing infrastructure to leverage on that. I know with our entities, as part of the year one, for example, in order to expedite the rollout because of the planning that took longer, the funds were dispersed later after the implementation plan was approved. The entities focus on areas where there's existing infrastructure where it can quickly be leveraged and then connectivity delivered. So we'll also extend that to the service providers that they've been appointed so that they leverage on that because it helps from a cost and also from a speed of rollout point of view. So we do agree with the Honorable Chair. I think that's what I can managed to record the efforts.
Thank you very much. Didi Jingobeni, I think you have covered a number of areas. Let me just thank the members for the compliments, because I think in the main, besides the number of clarity seeking questions which members have raised, I think in the main, members were complimenting us on the job well done. And we would like to thank you very much for those compliments. I think DDG Ngobeni has clarified a number of things. Maybe just to emphasize, there was an issue on whether are we going to reach the NDP targets, particularly around the technology goals. As DDG Ngobeni has said, I think we are on the way to doing that, to reaching the goals. As the stats SA data is coming out, that in fact we might reach those goals earlier than what was anticipated in the NDP. But what we want to also do is to, because we know that the majority of those communities connected is through the mobile network. So through this project, we want to roll out network, roll out broadband connectivity, utilizing the various technologies that Brendan has spoken about. And so we think that not only do we have a possibility of reaching those targets, but we think that we might even surpass the targets as set out in the NDP in terms of connectivity. So just to answer the question of Honorable Gwenya, on the training initiatives, we do have a strategy which we call National Digital and Future Skill Strategies, which has been approved by Cabinet. We've got a 5-year implementation plan that we have developed to implement that, because for society to have a full benefit of living in the digital economy, of having benefits from the digital transformation that is taking place. You require skills. You require various types of skills, from the basic digital literacy to advanced skills, which in the department we are working with industry. In fact, at this conference that DDG Ngobeni was referring to, which was held in East London on the 26th to the 27th of October, we received pledges from industry for which we are following up, we're confirming them to work with industry to upskill our nation, to make sure that we intervene in a variety of other areas where there's still a requirement for us to reskill, to upskill our people so that they can fully participate in this digital era that we are in. So we're working on that, Honorable Ngwenya. And on the mobile network operators, and I think it's a question that was raised by Honorable Mutsi. Now, what is happening is that arising from the auction of the spectrum last year in March, we have agreed with the mobile network of operators for the service obligation, social obligations to be imposed. And we have allocated those obligations in proportion to the spectrum that was obtained during that round of spectrum auctioning. So this mobile network operators will be responsible for the targets that we have given. For instance, we have identified 18,000 schools for all these operators to connect. And it turns out that we don't have 18,000 schools. There's much lesser than what was imposed on the operator. So all what we have said to them is that you need to connect this school, and this is the standard which Rendani was talking to. The standard is that this Wi-Fi must be unkept. It must not be at least less than 10 megabits per second, and all of the standards that we are putting. So on as to how they are going to connect and the type of technology they are going to use, at the end of the day, is going to be up to those mobile network operators. But we will set the standard that we need this type of connectivity to be installed. But we know that at the end of the day, they are going to utilize, most of them, they are going to utilize their own network, which is the mobile networks. We agree with you, Chairperson, that there is a need to bridge the rural-urban divide. And connectivity is the best route of bridging this divide. You don't have to drive to town to get access to the forms, to fill in and to submit. You can do all of these things online if you've got access to connectivity, if you've got access to the internet. And so that is exactly what we want to do in connecting these communities. And we have taken a conscious decision. And the choice of Mount Elif, I think, demonstrates the kind of bias that we are having, the kind of approach that we are having, because we're saying we want to connect the unconnected, but we want to target those from the marginalized communities. And as you know, honorable members, that the district of Alfred Nzo has been declared one of the poorest districts in the country. And that's where we said, that's where we want to start with the proof of concept. We're starting in Mount Elif. The next stop is going to be Mudimule in Limpopo. So we're not going to the affluent areas. We're targeting the marginalized communities to make sure that we're also bringing them on board. So that is our strategy, and it is deliberate that we're targeting most of our communities, which are mostly marginalized or previously marginalized communities. Employment opportunities, there will be a lot of employment opportunities, I think, as demonstrated in the presentation. So the model, as colleagues have been explaining, is that through BBI and Centec, so we're providing the core network, but we are working with the SMME, the internet service providers, to connect at the last mile, so to connect directly the communities and the Wi-Fi hotspot. And in working with them, we create employment opportunities in those communities. Like, for instance, in Mount Elif, we partnered with an SMME there. Centec partnered with the SMME called Lokshen Wi-Fi, which is an entity that is run by mostly women. Only it's owned by a woman, as employed other women as part of the staff, created employment opportunities locally. And this is the multiplier effects of this project, right in those communities. We don't bring people from Gauteng or from the other big cities, but we work with the SMEs in the local space. Involvement of traditional leaders, we agree with you, Chairperson. In fact, we have taken a view, if you look at the obligations that we have given to the mobile network operators, we have set a target for connectivity to rural traditional authorities, because we recognize that often in a rural setting, a traditional authority, it's a center of activities. It's where the local community congregate and all of that. So we have taken a deliberate decision that these are the communities that needs to be connected by the mobile operators. But let me just share with you a story of Mount Elif as I close, Chairperson, that there's a, because as you move into these spaces, the first port of call is the traditional authority. And there is a traditional leader that we work with in Mount Elif. Our team first went to the house, and he gave permission before we started working in that area. I just forget the name. I don't know whether Randani still remember the name of the traditional leader that we spoke to, who's responsible for that area. But yeah, I'll share it later. I just forgotten the name. So how we worked very well, he opted to take actually two from Lokshen Wi-Fi. Two contracts. He said, no, I want one here in my house and I want another one there. I don't want to share with the office, for instance. So that's how well we're working with them. And even when we were there, we went to the area, we went to him and we had a very good discussion. He was part of our program throughout the day. So that is the kind of working together and cooperation that we have with the traditional authorities, because we recognize that they are part of our heritage. So, Chair, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you very much and to thank the members who have made some contributions. And as I said, we do appreciate all the good messages that we receive from yourself. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me hand over back to you.
DM, thank you so much for all those responses. We are covered with your responses, and once again, we wish to thank you and your team for having come to present this to us, and we will be watching with keen interest as you roll out throughout the four hemispheres of our country. This is quite a very important one, and we will keep in touch, and hopefully we will have another bite sometime next year to hear how far have you gone, and if possible, we'll try and do that before the end of our term in office. DM, we don't want to waste any time anymore. We wish to release you so that you can go back to your respective areas of responsibility and continue with the day's work. Thank you so much to you and the official, as I've indicated. The committee really appreciates this. Thank you, TM, and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you,
TDG. Honorable members, we are supposed to get into the other items on the agenda, which is the usual thing of looking at the minutes of previous meetings. Unfortunately, honorable members, we are six in the platform that are in attendance. So we are not going to be making a quorum to actually be in a position to adopt those minutes. I will therefore request that we shelve them for now. There's nothing urgent with them anyway, because it's also minutes that relate to previous reports. I know that sometimes there's a need for matters arising and follow up, but I think we are comfortable to defer those minutes to the next meeting. If it needs be, we can have a short meeting specifically if we are not going to be scheduling another meeting before the end of the year, just to deal with the adoption of those minutes, which will give us an opportunity to include today's minutes. I'm not sure whether you are comfortable with that, members. You can just indicate by yay or nay.
Good morning, Chair.
Yebo, yebo, Mama.
No, thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I think what we have said, Chair, we have said a mouthful, and there's no rush. I support you, Chair, in terms of adopting the minutes on our next meeting. Ngiyabule and goes.
Thank you so much, Mama.
Thank you so much. Chairperson, thanks.
Siyabonga mama, siyabonga.
Baba.
Thanks mama, baba.
Let me now take this opportunity to thank you members for this robust interaction with the department on this very important matter that we're engaging them with. Thank you so much for your contributions. They were quite very helpful to give effect to proper oversight, to further strengthen and enrich the process that they are undertaking. Because indeed, it is going to not only make us good as members and the work that we do, but it is going to change the plight of our people on the ground. I wish to say now, we are concluding formally this meeting, and the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. The same to you. Have a great weekend, honorable members. We'll touch base next week. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Baba.
Thank you.
Thank you, Baba.
Thank you very much, sir.